Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wise as serpents and downright infuriated. I know that's not a Bible verse, but that might be what happens to us right now. This is Wretched Radio. We're called to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. In other words, we're supposed to understand what the pagans are up to. How do they think? What's their worldview? Where do they come from? Why? So that we can tear down strongholds, so that we can confront them with the truth, so we can engage with them, hopefully in a mostly amicable way, in a gentle as doves kind of way. However, there are two ditches I think we can fall into when we make an effort to try to be aware of what the culture, what unbelievers are up to. I think there's, once again, here it is, the pendulum swinging into two ditches. All I do is study what's going on out there. I'm just consumed by it. I'm constantly swiping and scrolling and looking for. I've got to be up to speed. I listen to podcasts. All I do is hear about all the bad stuff that's going on out there. And there's no shortage of that, is there? On the other hand, I'd rather not know anything. I would just rather live peaceably among men and not be aware of any foolishness that is going on in the world. Might I suggest both of those are ditches? I think both of those are extremes. I think that we need to figure out, and everybody's going to come up with a different scale system and how they measure their time and being aware of what is going on so that they can be more effective in sharing the gospel. So you do that for you. I will make those decisions for me. I will also make them for Jimmy because, well, his decision-making ability is quite questionable right now. What happened to your head?
I got a bad haircut. That's what happens when you give zero input and say, do whatever you think.
Oh, dude, you didn't.
Not the end.
You didn't even give her a number?
No, I didn't.
Just have at it?
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect?
Well, at least I didn't get pictures drawn in my head.
You didn't get any like the Atlanta Falcons symbol on the side of your head.
That's right.
But you look like a 14-year-old.
I do. My whole side of my head is shaved.
That's the cool look, I guess. Don't you know? That's the way the hipsters do it. And they left it long on top.
Yeah.
I went, your barber.
Mm-hmm.
English, first language?
Yes.
Okay. Probably know the word blend. They could probably figure out the definition of that and make it happen on your head. Because it's sort of like, it's just, and then poof. That's the technical terms, by the way. And poof, that's what you got. So I'll make these decisions for Jimmy, who's, well, at least momentarily impaired in decision-making. But we should, I think, to a degree, be aware of what is going on with the world. I think with the church, we should be knowing what is happening inside of the church, whether it's our denomination or not. Because we are supposed to be salt and light. We need to be, at least to a degree, aware so that we can rightly speak truth and dismantle the foolishness, the sinfulness. We're called to do that. And we have an opportunity. This will make you, I think, wise as a serpent, but it might just infuriate you. You might not want to be gentle as a dove. And I think that there's an element of that that is actually necessary. Why? Because what you're about to hear is very unrighteous. I've seen this in evangelicalism, that we can have a tendency to sound really nasty when it comes to confronting some of these issues, like the one you're about to hear. On the other hand, we can be so soft. Well, you know, we don't know exactly what's been going on in this person's life. And We don't know how we'd respond if we were in the same situation. And hey, maybe somebody's working on them. And it's like, okay, I get that. We want to be power under control, aka meek. But there are some things that people do where I think a little righteous indignation is demanded. I can't imagine that what you're about to hear makes God go, well, you know, some people, probably the parents, that's childhood stuff. I think unrighteousness to this degree calls for us to say, this is a perversion of the Christian faith. That's what this is. It is a perversion of our faith. And once again, this is another one of those ditches we can fall into. We can just keep receiving these, seeing these stories, hearing these speeches. You're going to hear an announcement inside of a church in a moment, and just keep absorbing it and absorbing it and absorbing it. I think that's out of balance. I don't want to go to the other ditch and be just constantly harping on everything. Boy, that's a sour grape Christian, isn't it? That's just such joylessness, always just being mad at everybody. That balance, it ain't easy. Let's see if we can find it, courtesy of a United Methodist preacher from New York. It's actually not New York. I think it was Rochester. It was, Rochester, New York. So Northern New York State. This fellow is donned in a robe. It almost looks like, I don't know what to call this, other than if you can imagine, it looks like a monk's robe, but it's white. So it's got kind of that cowl neck sort of thing going on with a rainbow stole. And on the rainbow stole, it has a dove. Now that should really bug us. You know, I mean, yikes, you're calling yourself a Christian pastor and you're promoting something the Bible clearly forbids. And then you put Christian symbols, specifically of the third person of the Trinity. Oh, I don't think that it was intended to be the bird that Noah sent out to discover whether or not they could get out of the ark. I think it's supposed to be the Holy Spirit because, well, they've kind of kidnapped that symbol, haven't they? And this fellow, as you're about to hear, he's going to explain to his congregation that he has begun transitioning. Is this tragic? Of course it is. You've got somebody who's sinful, broken, and damaged. No question about that. Flipped in their thinking, needs a ton of help. But this is an individual who has an audience and who is trying to persuade that congregation that his confusion is somehow sanctioned by God. That is wickedness. I always think that there's a good distinction to be made when you're dealing with folks who are promoting sinfulness. There are those who are just in the movement. I think that's the harvest field. But I think those that are trying to propagate wickedness, they're trying to rewrite the Bible, that's a different camp. That's a different class of people that I think deserve and demand a different kind of response. I'll even go as far to say a more severe type of response. If you know somebody who's transitioning, they're confused, obviously, they're unregenerate. Well, we want to win those people and help those people. But that's not the same person who then gets into a pulpit and tries to tell the congregation that his parents, who do not affirm his decision to transition, are clearly, well, it's inferred pretty straightforward that, well, you know, those fundies. This is a man who really, really, I don't want to say that there shouldn't be any kid gloves used, but this needs to be denounced. This is evil. Not only is John Wesley offended because he's a Methodist pastor, our God is offended by this. Let's see if we can be wise as serpents and respond to this rightly.
Are my parents okay with this? Absolutely not. They texted me this morning and they asked for me to tell you all that they do not support me.
Now that's he's setting it up. This is Greg Boyd. This is a clever way of getting people's emotions involved. His parents don't support him. Oh, those parents, they should be supporting their child. Now, of course, if he went on to say, because I just want you to know I'm transitioning to becoming an axe murderer, that might bring some clarity to people where they realize, well, of course your parents shouldn't support you, but this is a ploy to gain sympathy so that when you hear that he's transitioning, you joy because, oh, the poor guy doesn't even have his parents on his side.
And that they have chosen their convictions and their beliefs over supporting their child.
How dare they? Oh, wait a second. That's what we're supposed to do. I forgot. That's exactly how it works. I love my kids. But if it's contrary to what God says, I hold and affirm those convictions first place. That's what Christianity is. Now that he has set the emotional table, let's see if we can learn to understand, to interact, and call to repentance. Next on Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. We made a decision. We're going to trust God to provide through faithful partners who believe in this mission. We'd rather give everything away and trust Him than hold back truth because someone just can't afford it. And it's working. 300,000 Play the Men booklets distributed on campuses. 3 incredible campus visits. Millions of views on YouTube. Our podcasts are in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book was released in 600 radio stations, 120 TV networks, all carrying our programming. And the Fortis Plus app, well, it's on every streaming platform. Right now, every gift you give through the end of the year is matched dollar for dollar. Just go to FortisInstitute.org right now and make your gift count. Double your impact today. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at FortisPlus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at FortisPlus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Good thing for Jimmy, I'm a talk show host, which means I know everything. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I think I can help you with your hair.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Find some product. You can ask your teenager. They got some sort of product. And then rather than combing the long top down, spike it up. Do the cool thing. That's what the kids do these days.
It's a little long for that.
Yeah. There's product for that type of the type of disaster you've got going on up there.
I got to get some skinny jeans first.
Everybody you walk by will go, oh, poor guy. Must be about 40. Kind of going through things. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? I'm going to give a hearing to, well, it's hard to say a United Methodist pastor, but indeed he is in Rochester, New York. Announcing to his congregation, he is currently in the process of transitioning. This is so blasphemous. Why are we torturing ourselves? I want to hear the guy's argument. I haven't listened to it yet, by the way. I couldn't do it twice. So we're going to hear it together. I want to at least understand. So I can understand the confusion so that if I ever meet somebody like that, I might know some stuff. As you recall, he set the table by informing the congregation his horrible, terrible parents. They actually chose their Christian convictions over supporting their son. Oh, that's a nasty ploy, isn't it? And for a pastor to say, my parents have chosen the Bible over my decision to think I'm a different gender. He set the table so that you're now on his side. Let's hear his reasoning.
Everyone gets nervous when there's a special announcement from the pastor. I'm not leaving. Hold on to that. I'm going to hold you to it. So rarely do I, I did not get into ministry to talk about myself or my personal life, but sometimes there are things that happen in a pastor's personal life that is going to find its way out into ministry. And so I am inviting you to join me in a season of creative transformation for myself. And I think for all of us, imagine, so I get to announce with joy that I'm transitioning. I'm affirming and saying to all of you that I am transgender.
Woo? We got a woo?
So, and so the best way to put this is that I'm not becoming a woman. I'm giving up pretending to be a man.
Okay, there's an argument. There it is right there. What's wrong with that? It assumes that you can just flip-flop, that what you think in your brain is what makes reality so. And so he brings to an argument the conclusion, and he states the conclusion as if it's fact. That's bad logic. It's bad arguing. It's effective. That's I'm not going to be transitioning to become a woman. I'm just going to stop pretending I'm a man. But dude, the question remains, what is a man? There are biological issues. That is most certain. How do we rid ourselves of that obvious fact, especially when we're supposed to trust the science? Second of all, you've got some cultural issues that determine what a man and versus what a woman is. And then you've got, of course, the Bible telling you what is a man and what is a woman and how we are to act like men and act like women. He's simply overlooking what nature states emphatically. Dude, you're a boy.
What will change? Thank God you have never chosen me as your pastor based off of my appearance. Amen. Amen. I was waiting for that.
Now, there's no distinction between appearance and who you are. Your appearance speaks. Your appearance obviously isn't who you are, but it does reflect who you are, what you think, and what your priorities are, don't they?
None of you ever judged me, or that was not part of the intake process of me being your pastor, was because of how my face looked.
Therefore, because you didn't judge my looks, whether I'm handsome or not, you shouldn't be judging me about this. You don't judge those types of things, equating one with the other. Fallacious.
My body, or how long my hair is, or my clothes. Because at the end of the day, we know that clothes are just fibers. They do not carry an anatomy with them.
This is just dreadful. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Culture, this is so ridiculous. Of course they do. I know that it might not last forever, but that's why we have, you know, women's departments, men's departments. Typically men wear this, women wear that. And that's happened, I'm pretty certain, in every single culture ever, that there's simply a difference. Why? Because natural law states emphatically there's a difference between boys and girls. And so this is clever, I guess. It's just not good reasoning.
So to say that something is girls' clothes or boys' clothes, well, they don't come with a reproductive system.
Okay, again, clever, but nonsensical, really. Clothes do have genders. Now, here's where I confess to you, it can get tricky. Different cultures have different norms. That's why one of the things that makes a man and a woman is culture itself. When a culture decides this is how a woman typically dresses, we conform to that because we all know that it represents that gender. And so this clever little clothes don't have reproductive systems. Yeah, you're right. They don't. But that has nothing to do with whether or not they identify you as a man or a woman.
Amen?
No.
So what will change? My voice. It might go a tad higher.
Why? Whoa. Voices don't have reproductive systems. Oh, see what I did right there, Jimmy? Voices don't have reproductive systems.
His argument.
Exactly.
Pronouns she, her, but I'm not going to be pronoun police.
I'll bet you will. Give it time.
Okay. Because I don't think that anybody will misgender or mispronoun out of malice. This is a process. It's a transition. What will change is my full name. I'm taking on me, Fiona's middle name, so that we have that in common.
Hold on. Jimmy, I don't know if you've heard this, but names do not have reproductive systems. Why do you need to change your name to a girl name? There's no difference. Yeah. Just call yourself it, thing, whatever you want. But don't say that one has genders and the other doesn't.
What may change is that we might become known within the community as an even safer space for people who have felt marginalized.
Define marginalized. And again, just replace one sin with another. I know there's a difference between being an axe murderer and somebody who thinks they're a different gender. But if you're presenting yourself as something that you're not, that's sinful. And so if we simply replace that sin, his argument, with any other sin, punching somebody in the nose, his arguments all fall apart. He's simply assuming that it isn't at the very least broken that you're confused about your gender. And again, I will make that distinction. There's a difference between an individual who would be confused about their gender and a guy like this who's trying to make the argument that you and I, like his terrible parents, should give up on our biblical convictions because of the way they feel.
I'm in the category of what they call asexual. I've been that way since we've all been together.
I just didn't tell you.
Is that I am not... I'm not living my life in such a way that I am looking for romance. And that's okay. We all have to live the ways that we live.
Well, in other words, you get to determine what is moral, what is right. This is expressive postmodernism. This is I feel this way on the inside. Therefore, you people on the outside need to affirm what's going on the inside. And of course, we hear the double standard all over this, that, hey, we shouldn't be judging about genders, and because it's what I think that I am. but I'm going to be wearing girls' clothes. My voice is going to go higher. I'm changing my name to a more female name. It's totally inconsistent. What do we do with somebody like this? I think it's a mixed bag. Clearly confused. Clearly lost. Clearly unregenerate. Clearly seeking to deceive. Clearly looking to advance a sinful agenda. And that makes him different than the person who's merely confused. We call this out. This is shameful. And we should, if nothing else, be saying to a man like this, please change the name of your church. Turn it into some sort of social center. Knock yourself out. It's interesting, isn't it? All of the Christian symbols and trappings with none of the Christianity. Sad. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.